Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. The great Tim. You know what? Here's the great thing about Tim Lacombe is he's just the best dude on the planet. You know, he's just a good dude.
He's a great dude. He is a basketball savant. He is very handsome with his new look.
Yeah,
very handsome and wealthy. So that those are all good things.
I think he just nailed it.
In mind, body, and spirit.
Mind, body, and spirit. Tim Lacombe joining us. Hey, Coach, how are you?
What's up, Coach?
I feel like I just missed a couple pieces of that. Were you guys talking about Jake Scott?
Oh no!
I don't even.
I heard mind, body, and spirit. I heard handsome. I heard wealthy. I know. It wasn't anything you were talking about.
Oh, no, that's all you. You know, look, you still rock the suits every now and then. I went to Jake's wedding back in 2013. I don't think he's worn a suit since then.
No. No, Jake is he's pretty, you know, he wears that Hartford Whalers hat quite a bit.
Yeah.
That thing looks like it was purchased in '06. And then, you know, the little derby hat he wears, like the golfing hat, is cool.
Yeah.
Jake's got a cool look. He's very authentic.
Well, he owns it too. And that's the thing. You know, there's no trying to fit any norm anywhere. He's like, that's my look. I'm going to go with it, and you either like it or you don't. Hey, I had an argument with a member of the Utah State coaching staff, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Best Def Leppard song, Pour Some Sugar on Me or Photograph?
Like, are you saying best song out of the two, or I don't think either one's their best song.
Really?
I'll choose one of the two.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I thought that would be one of the two. I went Photograph.
I'd go Photograph. Yeah, Pour Some Sugar on Me is a stadium rocker. Doesn't translate great, like, over time. It's just becomes kind of a
cliche.
I like it, don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's just too stadium for me. But Photograph out of those two for sure.
Okay, but it you said, because Rock of Ages is my favorite Def Leppard song all time. So what is your, yeah, what did you say your favorite was?
Typically I go to deep slices, you know, kind of the way you guys are with food. You know, for me, like Photograph's like a Whopper.
Yeah.
I like to go down the menu a little bit and get something. I would probably say, just off the top of my head, that Gods of War is one of my favorite songs by Def Leppard.
Good call.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And maybe even something off of like the older stuff, like High and Dry, some of the older songs there. But again, I'm a freaking music idiot.
So. Well, no, that's why... That's why we need to get you on to talk music more often, because our guy Hans here sometimes needs a little bit of help musically.
Oh, come on. That isn't entirely true. I have some unique taste.
I want to picture this. This is my vision of what Hans would be like in Weezer. I like to call it Weezer because it's more like the beer than the band. But up there in Weezer, I would guess – you had a Ford Bronco missing a door or something. Then you saran wrap the door on.
With the gun rack.
Gun rack definitely had some horns of some animal on the front, kind of. I mean, am I close?
You know, we actually discussed this earlier in the show, and you're not far off.
You come along.
No, you didn't. You talked about
We talked about the first segment.
Yeah, we did.
Holy cow. Like, I didn't listen to you guys, so this must be, like, God wants to talk about this.
Yes.
Because we were talking about 1994 was the last time the Cleveland Browns won a postseason game. 1994, I was driving a 77 Cadillac Eldorado, and it was a soft top, but the soft top had been ripped off and was all gnarled, and my dad drilled, instead of having any type of animal horns on it, my dad drilled a massive fan blade right into the front bumper. So when I drove, it would spin, which is pretty cool.
I knew you had something cool. Because you don't just, like, pop out as cool as you are and it's fun. without some pretty cool life experience.
Hey, and Scotty, to fight back on your comment about radio, it had an 8-track, and my two tapes were Captain and Tennille, and Kenny Rogers. That was my 2 8-track tapes that I had.
So I was... Love will keep us together. Think of me, babe, whenever.
I know that song word for word because I listen every morning on my way to school.
Dude, my parents raised me on the Tennille, the Cap.
And the old 8-tracks, man. Nothing wrong with that.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I came in and bogarted all
No,
this
no,
stuff.
You're
you
all good.
Talk about.
Let's talk some jazz because on Friday, when last time Hans were on the air, Hans and I were on the air, it seemed like the world was coming to an end. And now things are rolling again. So what did you see out of these last two games that have gotten the Jazz out of that two-game funk they were at the end of last week?
Well, you know, we got to talk about the Bucks game. You know, I think that was one, if you could pull everybody after those two losses, against the Nets and the Knicks, I would imagine that most would say that the Jazz have zero shot against the Bucks. And, you know, they came out and just played really, really well. Most importantly, and I'm going to harp on this a ton because I think it really is a differentiator for this team. When they get out and run and get some early baskets in transition, you know, the defense does not set. They can't, you know, start sitting on rolls and all that in transition. So if you can race that ball up the floor like the Jazz did against the Bucks, and get some early baskets, that's always good. They obviously shot the crap out of the ball from three, but I think this team's capable of shooting it like that. You know, not every night because. But I think that most nights they're going to shoot the ball fairly well. It really is just a mindset thing where I think we saw it in the first half, last night's game or yesterday's game against Detroit. You know, the Jazz did a really good job coming out, pushing it. You know, Donovan was awesome to start. But I noticed like that first half, they were really forceful in playing on direct lines, you know, catching it, surveying what they had, and guys did a great job of breaking their guy down and creating help, which then starts the blunder. And then we saw a stark contrast to that in the second half. You know, sometimes you get a lead, and, you know, I think, Hans, you can speak to this. Scotty, you know, watching the Aggies over the years and myself, sometimes when you get a big lead, mentally you check the box and say, all right, now I'm going to go get my stats. I'm going to go pump my numbers. I'm going to go work on my contract, you know, all the different things that I can get if I do certain things. And sometimes that, you know, the focus gets a little bit off. And I felt like second half, the Jazz just did not play with as much force. But fortunately, they had built the lead up. And you know, and the other thing yesterday, they won on their defense. You know, they did a great job holding Detroit, who had scored, you know, they were averaging way higher than 86, and the Jazz held them to that. So I think there were a bunch of positive things, but I'm certainly not a guy who lives and dies, you know, with every possession. I see that as presently constituted, this Jazz team can really do some damage throughout the year.
All right, so just ran some quick numbers. I started out the show talking about Mike Conley because I'm starting to feel like Mike Conley is a big part of the engine and is becoming kind of the X factor between what Donovan and Rudy Gobert are doing, but the X factor in regards to wins and losses. And I was just looking at this. In this 5-game road trip, the Jazz are now 2-3. And in their 3 wins, Mike Conley is averaging 21.75 points and 6.75 assists in those wins. In the 2 losses, he's averaging 8.5 points and 5.5 assists. Mike Conley, and then you talked about the transition and getting active right out of the gates. You know, you go back and watch that San Antonio game or that Clippers game, and Mike Conley's active right out of the gates, hitting some big shots. I want you to talk about Mike Conley, his evolution to where he is now, just from his first year till now, and Mike Conley's importance to the wins and losses when it comes to Jazz play.
Well, I think, you know, Mike does so many things that, you know, obviously scoring the ball, assisting the ball, but I really think the thing that I'm really starting to see is the chemistry that he's got with the leadership on the team. You know, every single break, it seems, you know, when the camera kind of pulls back, he and Donovan are discussing things, or he and Rudy are discussing things. You know, I think he's made huge strides in trying to figure out how to fit on this team. You know, this has been a narrative that's been talked about a bunch, but came to the league in 2007 and was in the exact same location from 7 to 19, playing with familiar faces. You know, as guys came in, got to know him, you know, it's been made, a lot's been made of his playing alongside Marc Gasol and how Mark's more of a pick and pop guy. And it really is a different thing. You know, it's not just something that people talk about, but being able to come off a ball screen and immediately flip it to your big, you know, on a pick and pop, and know that big other big's got to get back to Gasol. The difference between that, and him playing with Gobert and holding the ball just a little bit longer. And I've seen this year, you know, he's made some real big time plays, to wait just a second longer, or to bounce the bounce pass a little higher for Rudy as Rudy's rolling, or to put it on the other side of the rim. You know, he just started to kind of figure out the intricacies in playing with Rudy, who's a rolling big man as opposed to a popping big man. And I think there's a comfort level there. I mean, if you look at his numbers across the board, and I mean, the one thing I said all last year when people were up in arms about Conley and Conley's play, you know, give it some time. You know, it may not happen in year one. And then obviously last year with all COVID and everything else was crazy. But if you look at his numbers right now through 10 games, his field goal percentage is near, you know, 0.3 below his career high. He's shooting 45.6 from the field. And in like 2000 and I can't remember the year, 2016-17, I think he was shooting 45.9. The biggest number that's really jumped up from this year is three-point shooting. He's shooting a career best if it were to stay this way right now. He's a 37.6 career three-point shooter. And right now he's shooting 42.5% from three. All those numbers just lead me to believe that this guy's feeling way more comfortable. And like you said, I think he's a catalyst to being able to attack. He's another guy that can attack off the bounce, get into the paint, and create, you know, an opportunity to move the ball and get the blender started. So I'm a huge Mike Conley guy, always have been. I think from the standpoint of his leadership, the way he carries himself, I love the fact that he's never had a technical foul in all his years. I mean, it speaks volumes about, you know, his ability to control situations and understand it. So I think Mike Conley, Hans, has been a huge part of the Jazz. You know, in the games they play well, you know, he's a huge part of that.
Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, Jazz radio analyst. When you look at Donovan Mitchell, and what really has impressed me with him and his development is superstars and bulk scorers like him, you know, they can be aggressive nonstop, but that may not be to the utmost, that may not help out the team that much. Yesterday, comes out, scores 13 in the first quarter. You can tell he wanted to be aggressive early on and then pulled it back a little bit, got the big lead, and then fell back into more of a facilitator, making sure things were running smoothly. Just how hard of a line is that to walk for guys like that? And do you feel like he's getting close to kind of figuring out when to pick and choose his moments?
I think it's a really hard line to walk. You know, that whole idea in basketball, whether it be, you know, from a team standpoint or an individual, but that whole idea of understanding push and pull, when do I need to be ultra aggressive? When do I need to defer? And I think, you know, I think there's two spots in games. I think early in a game, particularly in transition, I've seen Donovan have a ton of success by just either getting the rebound himself or getting the outlet and pushing that to the rim. I think those are opportunities for Donovan to start the game and get himself going in transition. And then in the half court, I've been so impressed with his assists. He's on a track right now to, you know, in the 4 years he's been here, he's on the highest assist track that he's been on right now. He's averaging 5 assists per game. And I think that's a really big number for him because, I think the more multifaceted he can become, I think the one issue right now, he hasn't really clicked with off the bounce threes, but his catch and shoot threes are off the chart. You know, he's shooting 35% this year from three, but I would say it's in watching and listening to David Locke every day on podcast and on the broadcast, you know, his catch and shoot threes are more in the 50% range or higher. So I think it's just a matter of knowing where your spots are. My thought is early in the game, push it in transition. Late in the game, you know, finish the game through isolation. And Donovan's proven he can do that. You know, last year in the bubble was an unbelievable opportunity to watch a guy just take games over. So early, late, and then just figuring out, you know, how to facilitate. But he's definitely making strides, you know, in that regard. If you look at his assists, they've climbed from 3.7 first year, 4.2 second year, 4.3 third year, and he's up to 5 right now. And I think that that's a number that you can watch to really understand how comfortable a guy's feeling.
Coach, when we're watching the Jazz take on Brooklyn and Brooklyn puts up 130 points, and then we're watching the Jazz take on Detroit and they hold Detroit to 86, and I understand the difference in talent. I get those things, but what are the Jazz doing different when you see a team that's running and scoring and hitting on almost every possession and a lot of open looks as compared to what, you know, what we saw against Detroit, where they were held under 90 points, outside of course, the talent that they're playing against?
Well, I think the Brooklyn game and watching that, and I think sometimes really good offensive teams that can't make shots, you know, this happens to them. And I think the Brooklyn game was one where the Jazz really couldn't ever get anything going offensively, and I think that hurt their defense. You don't ever want to see that, but when teams are built as offensive teams for the most part, and they have guys that all feel like they're shot makers and scorers, when that ball doesn't go in, it's discouraging as all get out. And it's hard sometimes to maintain the level on defense that you do on offense. The thing I loved about last night in that second half, the Jazz did not shoot the ball well. They started out great. You know, the first half, they looked like it was a carryover from the Bucks game. But the second half, they really kind of ran into a wall offensively. The ball started to stick. You know, Detroit was switching things to make it difficult. But the one piece of growth that I saw was the Jazz defensive effort remained totally consistent. And so I think that's a win. You know, I think you look at the difference in that game. And sometimes, you know, you play teams and they just have it going. Hans, you mentioned it. Detroit's the worst field goal shooting team in the league. So there's probably part of this that can be attributed to that. But if you just watch the effort and energy and kind of connectedness that the Jazz play with defensively, you can really see when they're on it and when they're struggling. And all it takes is for one guy to be off, right? Not be in his spot. Everybody does their job and one guy doesn't rotate over to the role or, you know, and it can really make the defense look bad. But I think that one thing that the Jazz have done this year is they've improved defensively from last year. You know, I think we had way more games last year where you were like, holy cow, they're just getting torched. This year, I think Donovan, Mike are playing harder defensively. You know, I think that that Rudy's obviously just a beast. But you've got guys who are really kind of stepping up their game. Royce is doing, you know, the very best he can. He's basically got the gauntlet every night. I mean, you just play a team and you look at the number one scorer and you say, Royce, you've got him. And sometimes that's not fair to Royce because, you know, I think he actually has a better – you know, he did a great job guarding Giannis for the most part. Giannis still had 35, but he made him feel those 35. It's when you give guys direct lines and just let them wide open and free. And we just haven't seen as much of that with this Jazz team this year.
When in baseball, the old adage is you know who a team is around Memorial Day. Is there a number of games that you look at NBA-wise and say, you know, is it 15, is it 20, where you get a good feel as to who that team really is?
You know, it is interesting because I looked, you know, I've had a bunch of people ask me about the quote-unquote slow start the Jazz are having. And I went back and looked through all of Quinn's years, and you guys probably already know this, but yeah. You know his average as a Jazz coach, what his average through 10 games is?
Ooh.
Hmm.
I'd say
500.
I'd say even a little less. I'd go 450.
He is 5-5.
Look at that.
Average over those years. So, you know, I think 1 year they won 7, and then 1 year they only won 3. But it's been right around. I think the first 10 games is a really big feeling out period, not just for your team, but the league. And I would add another 10 games to this year because of preseason.
Yeah.
You just didn't get that. You know, you didn't get a real training camp, and you didn't get preseason. You know, I was talking to Jake the other night, and Jake brought up a great point during the game. He talked about, you know, with all this COVID stuff and teams getting, you know, not having enough players to field the team, I almost wonder if they should just say, let's not do this G League bubble, and let's let all these teams have 20 guys so that they can always have practice. You know, I'm just trying to think outside the box.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to get a little dicey, and I thought Jake brought up a great point. But I think this year, I think you need to get through 20 games to kind of really see how things even out. You can see right now, I mean, the Jazz have lost 4, and they're one game out of first place in the West. So it's not just them that are kind of figuring it out. It's everybody. I'm a major buy on this Jazz team. I think that as things continue to click, I just like the personnel. I love having Favors to shore up the second group. And I just like the way the team's constructed more than anything.
Tim, how much fear do you have of this season canceling?
Say that again?
How much fear do you have of this season just canceling all out?
Ah, man, it's you know, I've actually felt that way more about college than pro, because I think pro can figure something out. This college thing's starting to become a little nutty, you know, because we're getting closer and closer to playoff, to tournament time. And there's going to be a whole slew of teams that don't have, you know, I mean, how do you have any equity and compare it? I don't think the pro game will cancel. I think they're committed to making it work. But I think we are in for, you know, this next couple months of winter and everything else, man, it's really touch and go.
Do you remember where you were at 10 years ago today?
Do I remember where I was at 10 years ago today? If I look at Facebook or something, maybe. I don't remember where I was yesterday at 2 o'clock.
Well, so. It was a big one. Some guy named Jimmer put up 47 points in the Huntsman Center, 104-79.
10 years ago today?
10 years ago today.
So I have a really cool, Mark Durant's dad, George, painted me a picture of Jimmer shooting that shot.
The half court?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a watercolor of that in my guitar room. It's one of the few basketball things that made it in there, but it's cool. So it's in there. But that's crazy. That's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
16 of 28 from the field, 6 of 9 for 3, 9 for 9 from the free throw line, 47 points. And that was one of many big, big Jimmer days for sure.
You know, my biggest recollection of that is having been at Utah and, you know, obviously knowing the disdain back and forth. When Jimmer made that shot, I kind of walked out toward half court as he was running off to give him 5. And I turned to look, and the Huntsman Center was, you know, they're playing the fight song, and people were, as Utah ran off the floor, Utah fans were genuinely up out of their seats cheering for Jimmer.
Yeah.
No, they really were. It was crazy. Like, they were almost like, all right, this is – really sucks for us, but this is really cool to see. So I'm going to, you know, and they were up cheering for the dude. It was crazy.
Wow. Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Great time as always. And I look forward to catching up again here real soon.
Scotty, I love what you're doing with the Aggies. Keep it rolling.
Oh, thanks, man.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Tim Lacombe, Jazz analyst, longtime assistant coach, had a stint at Utah. Also, was roaming the sidelines for BYU as well. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Matt Harrison patiently waiting. Matt, we apologize. We probably had you hanging on too long there. Great conversation with Coach. But you dropped a little bit of a tease there. You can use these reverse mortgages to buy a new home. How does that work?
I've been listening to radio way too long, guys. I know how it all works. and by the way, it was a great interview. I love listening to the station, have been for years. Yeah, so think about this for just a minute. You're older, 62 plus, and you know, you've been in this home for a while, and maybe it just doesn't fit your needs. Maybe it's too big, has stairs, you know, things are kind of starting to get a little dated. Maybe the yard is out of control. Maybe the home is too small and you've got, you know, kids and grandkids that are coming over and pre-COVID and hopefully post-COVID, right? We can get back to that. And it's just not working for you the way that you wanted it to. Maybe you want to move to warmer climates and you want to head down to St. George, or, you know, there's a myriad of reasons to why you would start to look at your home and say, gosh, I wonder if this thing works for me anymore. I mean, it's still functional, but is it going to continue to do what I want it to do as I age? And so you're stuck with this dilemma, right? And maybe let's say you've got your home paid off, and let's say you've got, I don't know, $400,000 in equity sitting in this thing. Well, you're looking around and you're saying, all right, well, what are our options? We really don't want to have a mortgage payment anymore, but we're really not finding the home that's going to fit for us at 400 grand. Well, your options become a little difficult because you're looking at it going, okay, well, do we get a small mortgage? Do we have to qualify for it? And everything starts to come into play. Well, with a reverse, you can use the reverse to purchase a home. The same math that we went over last time still works under this scenario. So let's say that you've got $400,000. You could take that $400,000 and project it forward to buy a home that's going to be in the $700,000 or $800,000 range. Now, a lot of this is going to be determined upon your age, the age of the youngest borrower or non-borrowing spouse. But that's going to be kind of fast math on that. But so think about that. You can go and buy a home that is more expensive than what you thought you probably could, not have to make a principal or interest payment, and be able to get the home that's going to fit your needs.
It's really a great program, and really the kind of things you can do are really impressive to see. So I think it's really important right now people check out the videos that you've got online, 801-330-2200, and online at reverseourhome.com. And you've got a bunch of videos there that really explain a lot of different opportunities and options for people.
Yeah, I do. Reverseyourhome.com, great resource, videos that you can watch and learn about this program. Again, there's a lot of misinformation out there about it. It is a wonderful program, and you're going to learn about how you qualify for it and what you need to do. So a couple of things is right off the bat. One of you has to be at least 62 or older, okay? So if you're single, if you're 62 or better, you can qualify for this program. If you have a spouse that's under 62, but at least you're 62 or better, you can qualify. The home has to be, you've got to have some equity in it. And to be able to use for a purchase, or if you're wanting to do it as a refinance, the home has to be a primary residence. And, you know, and then HUD counseling is required. And we go through all of this through the process. But my goal with the listeners is to give them another option, something that they can think about that'll increase cash flow, put them in a better spot financially, and allow for them to live life the way that they want to live it in their latter years.
Go call right now, 801-330-2200, or go to reverseourhome.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Number one.
Make us your number one preset.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make the Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
It's got to be kind of a rushed edition, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Went a little long there with Coach Lacombe. Hey, remember, it's all brought to you by Zero Res. You get 3 rooms of carpet clean for just $89. Call right now, 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. How about this? Devin Lloyd is back. One of the 5 finalists for the Butkus Award given to the best linebacker in the country. He posted a highlight video on Twitter with the caption, "One last ride."
He's back. Devin Lloyd will be one of the top linebackers in the country coming back. Colton Swan must be very persuasive. But look at this Utah team, by and large, they're returning.
Yeah.
There is not a lot of exiting talent. Devin Lloyd was the biggest one. We all kind of sat and waited and said, is he going to leave? I had indicated that Brent Keithy would be back. I had indicated that Britton Covey would be back. I thought Nick Ford might go, but there was later indications that he'd stay. Devin Lloyd was up in the air.
Yeah.
That was the one that needed the draft evaluation. And I think that Devin Lloyd's family played a very large part.
Oh, really?
In this, yeah. So congratulations to Utah for retaining the best linebacker in the Pac-12 and what should be one of the top 5 linebackers in the country next year.
I do think it's interesting how, you know, before last season, not this last season, but the season before, the kid from Ohio or Penn State, was it Manny Bowen?
Yep.
Said, you know what, I'm pursuing business opportunities, I'm leaving the team. And we're like, well, who's stepping up? Well, this kid named Devin Lloyd, can he handle that pressure? Is he up for it? Not only was he up for it, he ended up having a tremendous year 2 years ago, and last year cemented himself as one of the top 5 linebackers in the country, and he's coming back. Mm-hmm. May have been a blessing in disguise for Utah fans and for Devin Lloyd, for Manny Bowen to go. It accelerated his progression pretty quick.
He and Francis Bernard made a really good pair in 2019, and they'll find some help for Devin. I there were a couple of guys that I thought played well, but Devin is an elite linebacker, and Utah should be much better next year.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
This one broke my heart a little bit.
I was sad, too. Zach Moss, in his first career playoff game, ended up suffering a pretty bad ankle injury in the fourth quarter. Buffalo ended up getting the win without him on the field, but he got the start in this game. He had 21 yards on 7 carries. He had 26 yards on 4 receptions. He was doing everything that Buffalo needed him to do. Scotty, he was sitting well in pass pro, and he was a perfect flare and hot in blitz situations, and he just did it all. He was doing everything that Buffalo needed, and then right there in the fourth quarter, it was the second play of the fourth quarter, just to start the fourth quarter, he went down with the injury. There are multiple reports coming out from Buffalo Bills insiders saying that he is done for the year.
Yeah.
And that makes you wonder, well, if Buffalo made a run to the Super Bowl, that Super Bowl plays, what, the first week in February?
Yeah. Yep.
So that gives you a full month. But from what I'm reading from Buffalo insiders, they're saying doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it must be a really nasty one.
You just hope that he gets recovered quickly and can take place in OTAs and mini camps and training camp and be ready to go next year.
I was watching a film of it this morning, and because in Lifetime I didn't see enough of it and just kind of followed through with the game. But this morning I went back and watched it, and you see the defender just comes up, kind of grabs around his waist as he's going down. His ankle kind of gets caught underneath the belly part, and he turns the opposite direction. And I'm just hoping that it's a bad sprain. Yeah. I haven't heard any other details. I don't know if you've heard any other details, or Lloyd, if you've seen any other details. But I think it's just going to be a terrible sprain for him.
Yeah. And that, and you can get over that pretty quick. I mean, not like a really bad one. Yeah, you're going to miss the next month or so, but that's not going to impact next season.
No, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah,
where you're going to be fighting through pain, and it's just going to, you're going to have to gut through a lot of that pain and recovery. But it's a bummer.
All right, real quick, let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Couple more NBA games postponed. New Orleans Pelicans, Dallas Mavericks, and then the Boston Celtics, Chicago Bulls games, both postponed due to COVID-19 protocols. As you know, it seems like every sport, baseball had a rough start, the NFL had a rough start, and now the NBA is kind of going through, it's kind of a rougher start to the season with some postponements. With that said, the NBA Board of Governors are having an emergency meeting this week. Nobody's shutting down the season, but they will take a look at their protocols. What are they allowing players to do in terms of dining and doing in off hours? There is, in fact, some conversations about how teams will handle contact after a game. Will you be allowed to go and do a little bro hug with somebody from the other team? Or do you have to just do the thing that Hans really hates and just wave at each other and then go off into your own tunnel and into your own locker room? Those are all things going to be addressed by the NBA coming up this week with the NBA Board of Governors, because I think they're looking at a slew of games that have been postponed and said, we got to nip this thing in the bud right now.
That's why I asked Coach Lacombe if there's concern at all about this season canceling. As far as a season cancellation, probably won't happen.
No.
A delay, I don't know. Trying to reform and come together in a more secure environment, maybe. But to continue on the way they currently are, they're going to miss too many games, and there's going to be too much up in the air and too many problems. They're being very cautious, very, very, very cautious. And so there is not going to be anything that slips through the gaps. They're going to find it all. And I'm just wondering if they're going to have to make some pretty severe adjustments to make it through this season.
Coming up next, another edition of Whole World News. Dennis Dodd will join us coming up in the noon hour as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
In college at San Diego State, a guy texts in, my neighbors the Hughes thought about naming their son after Marshall Faulk. Thought about it. Why didn't they do it?
You're not catching on, Dave. What's their last name? You're just
naive. You're right. Yeah. Well, I was going for Marshall U.
No.
I got it now. Sorry. My bad.
You're so freaking naive, Dave.
This is why we love you.
You're not exactly a street smart guy.
Marshall U's not that bad.
No. I think it's more the last name.
So you really like the Thunder and Herd, do you?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother.
It is Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. So we span the globe to try to keep you updated on the news that may slip through the cracks sometimes.
We try not to let these stories slip through the cracks.
By the way, Whole World News brought to you by EliteWorks. Hey, I got a great EliteWorks story to tell you.
Yeah, what do you got?
So my nephew has got some online websites that he does some online selling of some products and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he was having some problems. He posted something on Facebook. He's like, look, I need some help with this website. Anybody out there have anything? So I texted him and I'm like, hey, I know some people at EliteWorks that can help you out. And so I texted Scotty and I said, who do you want him to go through? And he said, just give him my number. I'm like, you're kind of the big deal there. You don't need to be worried about this. He's
kind
like, no,
the
just
owner.
Yeah, you're the owner.
Yeah.
You know. And he's like, no. Send him my number. Scotty got him taken care of. He's new sights.
Going to help him out with the new sights.
Transitioning sights, and of course, and it's just not because he knows me and nephew. He's doing it for everybody.
That's awesome.
Free rebuilds for everybody out there right now.
Free rebuild for your site, 844-523-2777. Free rebuild. Yeah. You're not going to find a better deal in the world. 844-523-2777. So my guess is this story is going to be made into a movie at some point about two burglars that are just too dumb to actually be burglarizing a place. So these two burglars were in a home in central England, and they were robbing the place. And one of the two accidentally bumped 999 send on his phone, which is an emergency send, which dials up.
It's like 911.
It dials up law enforcement. And this guy, as they were burglarizing the place, law enforcement heard the whole thing.
You got to be kidding me.
No, they heard the whole thing. They heard them talking back and forth and, hey, grab that really quick and grab this. And in fact, Scotty, they stayed online so long that they actually heard law enforcement show up and arrest them.
Oh, my gosh.
On the burglar's phone. So I was going through this story, and I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, man. Like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then I came across this other story. In 2016, two guys were robbing a McDonald's in France. And as they came in to rob the McDonald's and started yelling, everybody's hands up, hands up, they realized that there were 11 armed members of the elite paramilitary European force that were eating inside the McDonald's that were armed to the gills.
Oh, jeez.
And so the 11 of them stood up and they started drawing their weapons, and they're like, who's putting their hands up? Like, what? Are you being serious?
There's 11 of them.
11 loaded to the gills, armed to the gills, and they're eating a Big Mac, and these two guys come in, everybody's hands up! And nobody gets hurt. These dudes are like,
why don't you just drop those tiny, tiny little guns that you have, or you won't get hurt?
It's so funny. Could you imagine
picking
the one McDonald's that has the paramilitary force of Europe in it? But that's a reminder. When you go in to burglarize, shut the phones off.
No. How about this? Just don't burglarize.
Well, that's an option.
Don't rob people.
Yeah. How about don't rob people?
Please don't.
But if you do, no.
Mute your phone. Turn it off.
Hey, you've heard the term reverse mortgage a lot out there. And the most important thing you can do right now is get some information. If you're 62 or older or know of somebody that wants to increase their cash flow a bit, Matt Harrison at Loan Depot can help out. Matt, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Really good.
We're doing well. When people hop onto the website at reverseourhome.com, what are they going to find?
Well, they're going to find a wealth of information. And these videos that have been created are designed to teach and educate about the program. Now, most people have, you know, some idea about what this is, but I'd say 9 times out of 10, it is completely wrong. So this website will go through and educate on every single step. And really answer the questions on, okay, what is the program? I've heard about it. Is this right for me? And could it be something that could be in my benefit?
You know, the other element to this, too, is that there's so much information out there that some people may have a preconceived notion as to what this is, and that may very well not be the case.
No, it's so true. And when I sit down with a client and go through things, the first thing I do is I say, all right, you tell me what are some questions that you have about the program as you understand it. And some of the most common questions, and these are going to be a little laughable, are, well, I've heard that the bank owns my house. Yeah. Completely not true. Okay. The bank does not own your home, no more so than, you know, if you're getting a forward mortgage on the home, that bank owns your home. You know, they're not on title. You are. It's just a lien. It's just a mortgage. The second one that is very apparent is, well, I've heard that I lose all of the equity in my house. Also not true. In fact, if you think about it, we've had a very, very nice run in real estate over the past few years as far as, you know, increasing value. But if you take our average increase in Utah in property value since we started keeping records, it's about 4%. Well, if you have your property value increasing at an average of around 4%, and you have a loan balance, even if you're not making any payments, which we've talked about in the earlier segments, are completely optional, there's still a very, very good equity position there that can build for you. Hmm. And so the equity position can remain and, in fact, can actually increase. We talked about earlier that you can make payments on a reverse mortgage. Now, again, we talked about, okay, well, why would we do that? Because the reverse mortgage is put there so that we don't have to make principal and interest payments. However, if you decide to do that, it goes to lower down the loan balance, but it also increases a line of credit if you have that program. Then that line of credit has an interest rate that is growing with time. And this is great because you can access it at any time. But again, all the information that you need, you know, right off the bat is on the website. So reverseourhome.com, or you can call me 801-330-2200. More than happy to go through things. And in our next segment, I'm going to go through how easy it is to find out how this program can work for you. It's super simple.
Call right now, 801-330-2200. That's 801-330-2200. Or you can go to reverseourhome.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.